Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Power of God is very strong this morning. So I know that if you tap into what the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you this morning, that your life is going to be different. You're going to start this next year different in a good way. I am excited about 2014. I am excited about what God is going to do in BFC. I am excited about what God is going to do in Wayne in my life. I'm excited because we're in something new, you know. When Doc was here, he said, how did he say? He said, the new and living day, there's a scripture for it, Hebrews. It's not the new and living way, the new day. I think it's the new day is here. If you go back to listen to, I think that was in October he said that. Yeah, we've been listening to some of his CDs again. So, praise God, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. I know you guys probably, there's some things going on in the spirit, and it's good stuff. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to talk this morning about I am healthy, wealthy, and wise. Anybody ever hear of Ben Franklin's quote? What did Ben Franklin say? Anybody know? No, the one I'm talking about. He did say that, yeah. Yes, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, I'm going to change it, and I'm going to say, when you become born again, God makes you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Okay? And so that's what we're going to talk about this morning. And we have a whole lot of scriptures because, you know, and you have a choice here this morning is you can just say, because it's all the scriptures I'm going to share with you. You've heard them all before. So you have a choice this morning. You can sit here and think, I've heard that before. I've heard that before. It doesn't work. You know, it doesn't work in my life. It's not that nothing's changed. Or you can decide to step into the realm of the spirit and open yourself up and repent and say, God, I want to change. I don't like my life the way it is. I'm tired of it the way it is. I want the life as you have said it belongs to me. And you step into that realm this morning, and I guarantee you're going to hear a totally different message than if you just sit here this morning and say, well, I've heard it all before. Guarantee it. Praise God. Praise God. First of all, 3 John 2. Doreen, quote it. Amen. So right there in one scripture, we have basically, I am healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen. Okay? And then in John 10:10, anybody want to quote John 10:10 or read it to me? Okay, who's the thief? Who's the I came for the life?
Jesus.
So what kind of life is it? What kind of life is he talking about?
Abundant
life. What does that mean to you? Give me a for instance. What does abundant life mean to you?
Everything.
What'd you say, Lee? Everything is ours. Give me a for instance. Prosperity.
Health.
Peace.
Deliverance.
Okay, so we're going in that we're generally in the same direction. Okay. So I just want to make sure that we're on the same page here. Okay, so let's start basic scripture. Salvation, yeah. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. If you haven't memorized, look it up anyway. Okay? Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believing your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? How many here this morning are not born again? Okay, so I'm presuming that everybody here is born again, because you didn't raise your hand, that you weren't. So that means this message applies to you. Okay? We're talking about you, every single one of you. If you're born again, then this applies to you. Because as I said before, when you become born again, when I became born again, God has made me healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's God has. And I'm going to give you this enough scriptures that you're either going to deny what God said or you're going to agree with it. Okay? So it says here, and then for verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the big thing we're talking about this morning, we've talked about this before, you're going to hear it again over and over again. Everything, once we got born again, this same principle holds true for everything.
Amen.
Everything that we're going to receive in life from God, the same thing, the same principle holds true. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth.
Amen.
If we, in our lives are based on, our lives are manifesting what we believe in our heart. Now, you may not think that, but it's true.
Amen.
Okay? And then confess with your mouth. So what we believe in our heart comes out of our mouth. It automatically, what comes, we think, well, I have to do this on purpose. No, confession is automatically, true confession is what's in my heart comes out my mouth. Now, we've talked about this on Thursday night. You know, the confession we have talked about over the years, we could say that more is persuasion. When I'm speaking scriptures to try to convince myself that this is true, I'm persuading. I'm renewing my mind. But true confession is, this is what I believe. This is what comes out of my mouth. Okay? Now, I was thinking about this, and this came to me. And I believe it's true. Not 100%, the whole spectrum, because there's a little bit more. But if you think about it, the world judges us on what comes out of our mouths. The world judges us on what comes out of our mouths. The world judges everyone on what comes out of their mouths. Look what happened to Paula Deen this past year. Look what just happened to Phil Robertson. It's you can say it because the world says what they said is what they believe. And you can deny it and say, well, I didn't really mean to say that. But the world says what comes out of our mouths is what we believe, so it's true. And they judge us, which means they decide why we said everything we said. So it's very important. The day that we live in, it's one of the things that just kind of shocks me is what we have become in these past few years in America is you make one statement and your life can be over. Your career can be ruined. Your everything, your life can be just ruined by one statement that comes out of our mouths. And so we think, well, words aren't that big of a deal. Well, God knew better than that because, look, the world is judging on words. It's not just a spiritual thing. This is truth. This is life. So what comes out of your mouth, you better pay attention because what's coming out of your mouth is based on what you believe. And you can say, well, I was just kidding. I didn't really mean that. Well, there is an element of truth to whatever is coming out of our mouths. There is something that we believe about that.
Amen.
And that's what we're going to be, that's what we've been trying to get us to work on this past year. And we'll continue because then it comes back to believing in the heart. So this is the basis on what we're talking about this morning. So the first one we're going to look at is I am healthy. Now, I don't want you to raise your hands. I don't want you to speak this out. I just want you to be very honest with yourself and ask yourself, do I believe that I have to be sick? And your automatic response was no, no. No, be honest with yourself. Do I believe I have to be sick? Okay? Okay, let's see what the word says. First, Isaiah 53:5. Says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Whose stripes are we talking about?
Jesus.
Jesus was beaten so that we could be healed.
Amen.
Okay? 1 Peter 2:24, as I said, you know all these, so. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. Okay, next one, Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. That word infirmities means weakness, and it can be of the body or soul. So it's not talking just about that he took our physical, that we don't have to be sick physically. We don't have to be sick soulishly. So mental illness is not, Jesus paid the price for all mental illness.
Amen.
Whether it's depression, whether it's schizophrenia, whether it's, whatever mental illness, Jesus didn't pay the price for physical, he paid the price for mental, for soulish illnesses, for wounds from our past, from our childhood, whatever it may be that we are dealing with, it says Jesus paid the price for it.
Amen.
Okay? So was Jesus ever sick? Okay. The word also says, as he is, so are we in this world. Okay. So, once again, don't answer me, but do you believe you have to be sick? Now, I'm going to make one guaranteed statement. If you believe you have to be sick, and I believe I don't have to be sick, and not because of who I am, but because of Jesus that lives in me, Christ in me, I am in Christ. Because of that, I believe I never have to be sick.
Amen.
I've told you before, my confession is I am not sick. I will never be sick. I will never break a bone. I will never need surgery. I will never have an injury. My eyesight will not grow dim. My hearing will not grow dull. My youth is renewed by like the eagles. I'm getting stronger every day. I have strong, healthy joints, muscles, and bones. That's my personal confession. I don't believe that I have to be sick. If I believe I don't ever have to be sick, you believe that you have to be sick, that it's just, you know, it just comes with life and you have to be sick. My one statement is, I believe, well, I pretty much can guarantee you're going to be sick more than I'm going to be sick.
Amen.
Is it possible for me to be sick? Of course it is. But if you believe, well, I have to be sick. And what I'm saying, this is not necessarily a conscious thinking, I have to be sick. But if you believe, if when symptoms come in your body, your response is, well, this is just going around. And let me say parents, too. You know, when your kids are little, it's up to you. You don't have, I remember Shell. When Shell first started having kids, her kids were sick all the time. And then something changed in her, and her kids stopped being sick all the time. So it works, you know, it's a parent for younger kids. But what I believe is going to determine how many Christians I've heard say, don't go around me. I have a cold, don't go near me. You know, you'll get what I have. That comes out of Christians' mouths. Based on what? You have to be sick based on what? Why do you have to be sick? Based on what? Well, because I did this wrong and I did this wrong. That's not what the word says. We're not under works. We're under grace. We are the righteousness of God. That means Christ in me, the hope of glory. So I do not have to be sick. If I believe, I do not have to be sick. I don't care how old you are. You do not have to be sick. That's what the word says. But it's up to us individually. What am I going to believe? And what I believe will come out my mouth. And it will determine how often I'm sick. Praise God.
Amen.
Very simple stuff. Okay, let's look at the next one. Wealth. I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am wise because of God through Jesus Christ. Once again, it's based on believing. Okay? Let's look at some scriptures. Let's go back to Isaiah 53:5. Once again, it says, he was wounded for our transgressions, he bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. If we look at that word peace, that is the word for what, Doreen? No? Your big moment. Yeah. Shalom. Oh, dear. Okay, that word peace is shalom. And the definition of it is completeness, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, quiet tranquility. See, you got one of the definitions. Quiet tranquility, contentment. And it says that we got that because of what Jesus did. It came and it belongs to us because of what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 6, starting verse 31. I'm not going to read the whole, there's more to it than just these scriptures. It starts much earlier in the chapter. But Jesus is talking and he's talking about all this natural stuff. You know, what are you worried about this for? What, you know, you see this, you see the birds, you see the flowers. What are you worried about? And then it says, verse 31, therefore do not worry, saying. We may have thoughts of worry. But that's when we need to stop it. When we start saying it, then we're getting tied up. Because you know what? What comes out of my mouth, that's what is training me in what I believe. You know, that's why we confess the word to ourselves. You know, speak it out. Because I'm convincing myself, this is true. If I say it, you know, we believe what I say, I believe more than what I believe anybody else says. Same thing is true for you. If it comes out your mouth, you believe it. You say it enough times, you know, if you're saying something and it's not a heart belief, well, you will convince yourself. The more you say it, the more you're going to convince yourself it's true. So it's what comes out of what comes out of your mouth. Okay, let's see here. So therefore, do not worry, saying, "What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?" And also, in other words, the basic needs of life. You know, what are you worrying about it for? For after all these things, the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles we're talking about here are the sinners, the world. The people that don't know Jesus Christ, the people that aren't children of God, that's the things they're after. That's what their lives are about, is getting stuff. Okay? Let's see. Your Father knows you have need of all these things, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what's going to happen? All these things will be added unto you. What's the key here? Seek first God and his righteousness. You know, get a hold of that. Put off, renew your mind. I am righteous. You know, until we have an understanding, until we have a heart belief, I am righteous, then this stuff is not going to manifest in our lives the way God has said it's supposed to. That's why, you know, is that I don't believe I'm worthy, or, you know, whatever belief, whatever religious, traditional beliefs that we're living our lives by and not by, I am righteous. I have a right to this because of Jesus, not because of who I am, not because of what I've done or haven't done, but simply because of Jesus, I am righteous. I get to be healthy because of Jesus. I get to be wealthy because of Jesus. I get to be wise because of Jesus. It's all about what he did. I need to step in what he did. God sent him because of that. He wants that to for me because he loves me so much. He loves you so much. Amen. It's not about what we do to get it. It's simply because he loved us and he died for us. And it belongs to us. Amen. What did we just sing this morning? He's a good God. Every good and perfect gift comes down from him. There's no bad, there's no negative that comes from God. It's just good stuff. Look at the Garden of Eden. Was there anything bad? Did God put anything bad? Did God do anything negative in the Garden of Eden? Absolutely not. And that's what's available to us. Praise you, Jesus. That word seek means to seek in order to find out. But this other part I thought was very interesting. By thinking, meditating, reasoning, to inquire into. Comes back to that meditation, that reflecting, that getting alone with God. I don't know if anybody heard David Jeremiah this morning. We were listening to it a little bit before we left. Phenomenal message this morning. Wasn't that good? Amen. That was really good. And that's what he was talking about, getting alone with God. Be still and know that I am God. Amen. That's what meditation is about. And that's what we were doing on Saturday nights. Because, you know, generally, unless you're practiced at it, it's not easy to just go from, you know, in the natural, and then, okay, all of a sudden, I'm in this presence of God. So that's where we go through the process of first, you know, sitting and focusing on relaxing my body, you know, working on getting my focus on God, and then start thinking about, you know, start meditating about the stuff we're talking about this morning. It's not the complicated stuff. It's the simple scriptures that we need to get the revelation on. That we need to get in our hearts. And then our lives change. Praise God. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 8:18. I didn't copy this one, dear. Bummer. I'm going to have to look it up. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Verse 18, and God is speaking to Moses and the children of Israel and talking about, you know, getting into the promised land. And when it gets down to 17, let's start there. Then you say in your heart, excuse me, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it's he that gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. You know, that's our whole problem is verse 17. It's all about me. You know, what we've talked about, the original sin. I want to be in control of my life. As long as I am in control of my life, you will not be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, you can have money, and you may be healthy to a certain point, But the life that God has, that abundant Zoe life as God knows it, it is impossible for us to have when we are in control of our lives. When I decide what I'm going to do, when I'm going to do it, how I'm going to do it, and why I'm going to do it, then God, we just shut God out. It's not that he stops loving us. It's not that the promises have stopped being available to us, but we shut the door. Because God says, I made you. You know, what's that statement? As a parent, I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Well, God has that power. But because of his love and mercy, he brought us into the world. But the only one way he wants to take us out is in power and glory and to spend eternity with him. But I have no say in my life. I have no right to say anything in my life. Same thing is true for you. Now, if you want to be in control of your life, you go there. I've been there. I've done that. I never want to do it again. Because all it brought in my life was pain. And God has, you know, God has such great plans. God has such wonderful life available to us. But we think we're so smart, and if I do it my way, you know, or God didn't come through for me, you know, he didn't do what I wanted him to do when I wanted him to do it. So, okay, forget this. I'm just going to run my life the way I want to. Go for it. You're going to end up in pain, discouragement. Sickness, depression. That's what life is without God. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Where do we get to? Deuteronomy 18. Okay. Let's go over the New Testament. Galatians 3:13. How did I miss these two, dear? Galatians 3:13, you should all know this one too if you've been in the Word for very long. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. 14, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive of the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Does anybody know where the list of curses are in the Old Testament? Deuteronomy 28. If you don't know what the curses are, then go back and read Deuteronomy 28. It lists all the blessings and it lists all the curses. The blessings still have availability for the blessings, but it said Jesus paid the price, so the curse is not ours anymore. If you go through the curses, generally they all have to do with poverty, sickness, and spiritual death. So once again, God has made me healthy, wealthy, and wise because Jesus paid the price. Okay? And then 2 Corinthians 8:9, once again, very familiar scriptures. 2 Corinthians 8:9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Does these scriptures that we have just gone over, is it an indication that God wants us to be prosperous? Amen. Does God want us to prosper at all times? Is there any lack in our lives? That's what God says. But the big question is, what do you believe? Now, if you look at these, you know, as I was going through these, most of these, all these scriptures are tied in with the, there is a lot of them that are tied in with, there's giving around them. You know, the Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom. You know, so there is conditions, you know, tied in with what these scriptures are talking about. So when I were talking about it this morning, we didn't come to a definitive answer, but I do want to say that I think I wrote it down here. As I said before, it comes down to what we believe is what we're going to see in our lives, okay? So if we believe that God wants to bless us naturally, like we were just talking about, financially. If we believe that, then will we be givers?
Yes.
I believe that just it's just because when we recognize who God is, you know, how much he loves us and what he has done for us, to me, it's an automatic thing to give because of that. So do you have to give to receive these? I would say at this point, without studying it out, and Bob isn't in here, I was going to say, I've got another thing for you to study out, Bob. I would say that you don't have to give. You know, you can believe, I want to say this, you don't have to give to receive what God has made available through Jesus Christ. But I don't see how you can believe what you have to believe to receive. I don't see how you can believe and not give.
Amen.
So that's, to me, is how I'm looking at it. If I'm, Wayne's shaking his head, I guess that's a good sign. Okay. Next, moved on to the next one, wisdom. I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am wise. Wisdom, James 1, starting in verse 5. Classic scriptures once again. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask. Oh, and puke. I forgot to look something up. Let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. And let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So, what we see here, if you don't have wisdom, what are you supposed to do? Ask. And it'll be given based on your belief. So if you ask and don't believe, will you receive wisdom? Will you receive anything else? According to these scriptures, you're not going to receive anything. It says this. If we waver between two decisions, if we waver, it is God's will, it's not God's will. It is God's will, it's not God's will. We have some more renewing of the mind to do. We have some more putting off, renewing the mind, put on. You know, and this isn't, you know, look at this isn't judgment for anybody. I sure haven't arrived with all this yet. So it's not judgment that we're at different places in our lives. The whole thing is, am I going to repent? And am I going to work on changing so that this starts manifesting in my life? That's the whole thing. That's the crux. Am I going to change the beliefs of my heart? Am I going to line up with the Word of God? So my life is a testimony to the goodness and glory of God to the world around me. That's where we're at. You know, am I going to make Jesus Lord of my life, or am I just going to be in control of my life? That's where we are. Praise God. Now, the thing I forgot to do, does anybody that took the freedom classes, does anybody remember James Richards' definition of wisdom? That's what I forgot to look up. I was just hoping. I have a note to myself, but then I forgot to look it up. Okay. I do want to say what wisdom, looking up in Strong's, I pulled out a couple definitions, which I thought was very interesting. One of the things wisdom means is skill in the management of affairs. In other words, in our business lives, you know, whether we're an employee, an employer, self-employed, God says he has the wisdom for every situation of life. If we will tap into it, if we will apply these scriptures. You know, God just doesn't deal, it's not just the spiritual part of our lives. It's spirit, soul, and body. It's every area of our lives. If we ask, we will receive. You have a problem at work, that's why Christians should be promoted all the time. Because if there's a problem at work, you have the access to God the Father, the God of all knowledge, all, you know, all wisdom. You tap into him, you know, asking for wisdom, believing. You bring the answers that the business needs that you're working in. Yep, promotion coming. You know, what's the story about, I forget who he is now. But there was some guy, and he talked about he went and he had to fix this. I don't even remember what it was. I think it was anyhow. He had to come and fix this thing. And so the guy that hired him, you know, and then he gave him a bill. It was like $200 for, you know, a couple minutes. And the guy says, why am I paying you all this money? And he says, because I know how to do it. The big money is knowing what to do. and when to do it. Wisdom, wealth, health, all tied together. Okay, and also, this is another side of it, which I thought was very interesting. Wisdom also means devout and proper prudence in intercourse with men not disciples of Christ. In other words, sinners, people that are not born again. Skill and discretion in imparting Christian truth. If you don't know how to witness to someone, ask for God's wisdom. You don't have to go through a training course. If you got born again, you know how to lead somebody else to the Lord. You just need the wisdom on how to go about it. When to say something, when not to. Isn't God good? Praise God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, so wisdom is residing within us. Christ in me, I'm in Christ. The wisdom of God is in me. I just need to learn how to tap into it. And that ties back into, you know, the righteousness of God. I am righteous, and tapping, so when I'm righteous, then the grace of God operates in me. So that is all tied in together. And if you don't understand about grace, well, you should be coming Thursday nights. Amen. Learn about grace. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am wise. Repeat that. I am healthy, I am wealthy, I am wise. Simply because of Jesus. Amen. Now I want to go back now in one more scriptures. Oh, we're going to get done quick today. In Proverbs, go back to Proverbs chapter 3, because in this portion of Scripture, you're going to find all of this. Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Okay, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. There's a key phrase right there. Because, in other words, let your heart keep my commands, it would be saying in the New Testament, you know, obey the word. You know, it's what's the word telling us to do? For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them in the tablet of your heart. Once again, we go back to this, the beliefs. It's what do I believe in my heart? The heart is the spirit and soul together. God has taken care of the spirit part. My thing that I have to work on is the soul part. So I put off what's not of God. I renew my mind to what is of God, and I put that on. It is a process, okay? So we see here that length of days and long life. In other words, you know, I have good days, and I have a long life. You know, so my days individually are great, and then my life is long, okay? So if I have a long life, then I have to be healthy, right?
Amen.
Okay? And peace. Can't get any better than having peace along with it, okay? And in verse 4, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. So what goes along with this, you know, when we become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we become, you know, manifestations of righteousness and walk in the grace of God. It's what all this is talking about. Then we get favor. Do Christians need favor in America right now? Well, it's not by signing petitions and complaining and judging everybody that's, you know, any sin that's out there. It's by following the word. It's by working on me, becoming who God has called me to be, to work on getting the revelation, I am righteous, walking in righteousness. As I walk in righteousness, then I step into grace. Grace is God's ability to do in me what I can't do on my own. When I am in that, then I am walking in love. Then I'm going to have the mind of Christ operating in me. I will have wisdom. I will be living in health when the world around me is sick. I will be living in wealth. I will have my needs taken care of when the world around me is in lack. That's the person that's going to be a testimony to the world around them of who Jesus Christ is.
Amen.
One of the things with this Robertson thing that is very interesting and how it got turned around But one of the things that if you read any of what he said, he talked about he was totally against hate. He is a man of God. If you've heard any of the things, he's a man who walks in love. So how did things get turned around? Because he was not judging in the statements he said. This is what the word says. I believe that homosexuality is sin. But I still love you. I'm not going to, you know. So it was a total different mindset. And the favor of God operated in his life. Amen. That's what we're supposed to be walking in. It should not be, you know, well, I get persecuted because I'm a Christian. You know, no. Well, that's going to happen. I'm not saying that's not going to happen. But we should not, you know, it should be the same way he has been persecuted. You know, the one headline was, you know, A&E wimped out over the situation. No, A&E didn't wimp out. The backlash was that they wanted their money, and so, you know. But that's who we're supposed to be. It should be a testimony of someone who walks in love, of someone who is different. Not because I'm judgmental and put other people down. Not because I think I'm so super, you know, super spiritual and, you know, not because I'm weird or strange, but because I'm somebody. I am healthy, I am wealthy, and I am wise. Because of Jesus. Opens a whole lot more doors for us than if we're the ones that, you know, like Wayne has said, you know, the world knows everything we're against, but nothing about what we're for. Okay, praise God. Praise God, praise God. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. There's the key right there. We think we know this scripture, but no. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Amen. What's in your heart? What you believe is in your heart. It's not in your head. It's in your heart. How do you know what you believe? Well, one of the things is be honest with yourselves. And another thing is check out what's coming out of your mouth. Or ask people the closest to you. And they will give you an indication of what you actually believe, what's in your heart. If you're mean and nasty and angry all the time, that's in your heart. It's not circumstances that's producing that. It's what's in your heart. Your attitudes, what's coming out of your attitudes, is based on what's in your heart. Now, you know, it's, as I said, this is a process. And we all have times when we get, you know, into, I want to be in control and not put God in control. But we should be moving more and more to the God direction. Amen. Working more on trusting in the Lord with all my heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Yep. You know, we had a discussion of a few weeks ago in Grace, and one of the things I said was, we don't get to ask why. If things have happened in your life and you don't understand, it's not up to you to ask why. Because God doesn't say that he's going to explain all the reasons why. What does God say? Obey. Amen. Obey. Just like the parent with a child, obey, because I said so. And when I obey, then I start to understand. Then I start to know the whys. And some of the whys I will never know. Because God says, I'm God, you're not, it's none of your business. But if we focus on the whys, when we focus on the whys, I start focusing on me. It's about me. I demand an answer. I am not going to obey you unless you tell me the reason why this happened. And when I do that, then I am worshiping the creature rather than the creator. I am lifting myself up above God, and I say, God, it's my way, not your way. And all that's going to do is bring us pain. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Not some of the ways, as we move, you know, we might be right now, some of our ways, we may be acknowledging him. But we need to move to, you know, all my ways, all of my life is controlled by God. That's what we need to be moving to, all my life. Not just the things, not just the convenient thing, not just the, you know, the church stuff, not just the, you know, maybe the health stuff, you know, maybe the marriage stuff, but not the parenting stuff. No, all of my life, all of my ways, everything about me, I need to be moving to God is in control. It's God's way. Because God's way is good. It's not that it's, you know, well, I have to submit to God. You know, I have to do it God's way. So it's, yeah. No, God's way is so much better than anything I could ever come up with. Amen. I mean, how can you want not want, you know, love and peace and joy, you know, and just, you know, happiness and health and wealth and wisdom? How can we think we're just so stupid sometimes? Amen. When I want to do it my way. When I don't, you know, because I don't understand, I'm doing it my way, you know. I want to be in control. We're just so, it's just stupid. If you're just stupid. Just, there's no other way of saying it. It's just stupid. Yeah, I really believe that. Yeah. Praise God. You know what? This goes for teenagers. Teenagers, if you could learn the age you are now to trust in God and put God in control of your lives and not wait until you're 40 or 50, you will be so much farther. You will be so much more successful. You will be so much happier. Life will be so much better. Now, you can sit there and say, well, she's an old lady. She's just, you know. This is the voice of experience. How many would raise your hand in agreement with me? You wished you would have put God first a long time ago. Makes a world of difference in your life. Everything you want out of life, guys, you put God first, you're going to get it. Because if anything you want right now is not of God, he'll change your desires. And what he wants for you is so much better than what you want anyway. Amen. Praise you, Jesus. Do not be wise in your own eyes. That's what we've been talking about. The wisdom of God is not, you know, whatever I think. Now, if God is in control of my life and I am, you know, putting him first, I have found that I don't have to pray all the time for wisdom, but I just make wiser decisions. I just see things more often from God's eyes than mine. And so it's not that I get this spiritual feeling or whatever, you know, that I was sitting in the presence of God and I get this answer, okay, and then I do it. It's just going through life, you make smarter decisions. You know how to do things that, you know, just so you don't have to, you know, six times try to do this and then, you know, okay, then try to, you know, back and read the directions kind of a thing. It's just, it becomes, because this is who I am. As I change who I am, you know, not change who I am, because I am the righteousness of God and all that, whether I ever experience it or not. Same thing is true for you. But as I experience it more, praise you, Jesus. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. And fear the Lord means it's not, you know, being afraid of God. God is not out to hurt you. God is not causing your problems. God is not bringing the negative circumstances into your lives. Most every problem that we have in our life in the past or presently, it's us. It's not Satan. It's not God. It's us. We brought most of the crap into our lives that we are experiencing. Satan doesn't have to do anything because Satan has no power in my life because I'm a child of God. Satan has no power in your life if you are a child of God. The only power that Satan has in your life is whatever you give him. And you give him the power by what is in your heart and what comes out of your mouth. Satan can't do anything unless I give him permission. We are in the New Testament. Not the old. If you don't believe that, go back and read what Jesus actually did. Okay? Okay, where are we? Lean not to your understanding. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh. As I said, these things all intertwine. Health to your flesh. This is the Old Testament, even before Jesus came. So if they had that good in the Old Testament, then we have it so much better in the New Testament. So once again, I don't have to be sick. Amen. Ever. Amen. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. As you get older, that part of that scripture is more important than when you're younger. Doesn't mean a whole lot. As you get older, it means a lot more. Strong, healthy bones. That's what's mine. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. So if I'm going to honor the Lord with my possessions, what does that mean I am likely to do? Give. How else can I honor the Lord with my possessions than give part of them? And with the first fruits of my increase. In other words, you know, first fruits are the, you know, the, just basically what it says. But increase, so that means it's going to keep getting better. If I have increase, God says increase. If I live my life this way, then there's increase. He doesn't say decrease. He says, you know, if you ever get a raise, you know, if things ever start to improve financially, well then, you know, give me part of it. No, your increase, all your increase. So that means to me, it's a regular thing. You know, you study out the Jews at all on finances, and you know, the Old Testament, they were the most wealthy people we've ever heard of. Amen. I'm sure that Bill Gates has nothing on Solomon.
Amen. Amen.
And the only reason these guys were wealthy was simply because they followed God. It was all based on that. So the same God that made them wealthy is the same God we serve. And we have it better than them. You know, our covenant is based on better promises than what we're talking about here even. And with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So in other words, we could say, and your bank accounts will be filled with plenty. You will have more than enough. And we can sit here this morning, and I'm the same thing that where most of the rest of you are. I can sit here and think about what's actually in my checking account right now, and how this is not a manifestation of what is mine. But what it means to me is I need to do more putting off, more renewing my mind, and more putting on. Because if we don't focus, you know, read Wayne's article in the January newsletter. Very, very good article. But he's talking about focusing. And that's what happens to us. We get so sidetracked so easily. And our focus is on everything but what we're supposed to be focusing on.
Amen.
You know, I thought it was very, Wayne was watching show last night, and the show was what we wasted our time on in 2013. And we think about it, we waste a whole lot of time.
Amen.
Any of you that have been on the internet, which pretty much most of all of you have, you know how you can sit there and 2 hours later you have discovered you have not accomplished anything, but you have wasted 2 hours sitting there just going through in the internet, and not even bad stuff, you know, just looking for the, because if you look at this, then there's a link to this, and then you know. But our focus needs to be on the right things.
Amen.
And the right things is the Word of God and Jesus Christ. And if you sit here and think, well, that's boring. Do I have to read the Bible? Do I have to? Well, you know nothing about God if that's your attitude this morning.
Amen.
You know nothing about being in the presence of God. You know nothing about how good God is and how much He loves you and how much He wants to spend time with you. But this will all depend on where our focus is, what we focus on. And it's got to be daily. It's not a, you know, okay, Sunday morning I focus on God. It has to be daily. You know, what's his name now this morning? David Jeremiah. He was talking about this morning. And it's, you know, you don't have to start and spend, you know, 2 hours. Okay, I don't have 2 hours every day to spend with God. Wherever you are, you can carve out 5 minutes. Just to sit and listen and just sit and think about and focus on God and what He has done for you and what He wants to do for you. And the more you do it, the more you desire it.
Amen.
The more you crave.
Amen.
And it's not a thing I have to do. It's like there's this appointment. I have got to keep this appointment because it's that important. I have got to meet with this guy. I have got, because my day is going to be messed up if I don't spend some time with this guy. This guy being God.
Yeah.
And it's not about, you know, I believe in praying in tongues, you know, and you know, my slogan, you know, pray in tongues, drink water. But I have found, I have made so much more progress in my relationship with God, with just sitting in His presence for half an hour a day than I did for praying 4 hours in tongues. But you got to do it. But like I said, just start with a few minutes. Just start sitting, focusing. You don't have to talk. Just commune with Him. Just get by yourself somewhere and just sit there and just think about God. No, whatever floats your boat, you know, whatever place, you know, it's the Saturday night process we do, you know, you go in your mind to, you know, your secret place, some place that makes you happy and secure. Well, maybe you want to do that physically, you know, now for me it has to be green. I have to go south this time of year because it has to be green. But if it, you know, to go out in nature, you know, whatever, wherever you feel closer to God, just go there for a while. It's so much fun, so much better than some of the stuff we've done. And then in verse 13, happy is the man who finds wisdom. You know, I've told you before, I am happier now than I can't remember as being as an adult. You know, not just joy, it's not just peace, but I'm happier now. Happy is the man who finds wisdom. Happy is the man who finds God. Happy is the man who grows in his relationship with God. And the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver. This is just wisdom. And her gain than fine gold. She's more precious than rubies. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Once again, length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. As I said, these things all intertwine. When we have the wisdom of God, when we operate in the wisdom of God, it's not just that affects the thing that we ask for wisdom for, but it brings health and prosperity. Because making wise decisions makes your life a whole lot better than making bad decisions, you know, foolish decisions. You know, foolish decisions is, you know, go out drinking and then drive. It's kind of a dumb decision, but people do it all the time. A foolish decision is taking cocaine. But people do it all the time. A foolish decision is having unprotected sex outside of marriage. But people do it all the time. But we're not supposed to be like those. We're not supposed to be living on foolish decisions. We're supposed to be living according to wisdom. And wisdom is not, it's not hard. It's not boring. It's not, you know, blah. Wisdom is exciting. God's life is exciting. God's life, it just, I don't know how many ways I can say this to you. God's way of life is so much better. Hallelujah. So much better. Glory. Length of days, okay, and her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. Yes. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. I did not look it up, but I presume all her paths are peace. I presume that word is Shalom. So everything good that you could want in life is available when we put God first. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.